Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you've had a good day. If it's a Thursday, if it's the repeat program on Friday, well, wish you a good day. Buenos dias. I have my guest today, Ligia Domenech. Ligia, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Ligia is a researcher, professor, teacher, and an author of various books. And we're going to be discussing a little bit about her life and, more importantly, a book that she just published called Us According to Them. It's the stateside portrayals of Puerto Ricans and their culture, 1998 to 2010. But one of the first questions I'll be asking you is, it goes way beyond those years because you didn't bring into play other authors, other persons reflecting on the Puerto Rican character and our way of being. So before we go forward, thank you for listening to us. And as you know, you can access these recordings of these programs on Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez on that webpage. And there's also a podcast with that same title. So you can catch that if you're not able to listen to the whole program. I know you're going to be super, super curious as the things develop.
Yeah.
I think there's I think from both, you know, from the Puerto Rican point of view as well as from the persons that have come to Puerto Rico from the mainland, as to, you know, what we are, you know, who we are and and where we stand and what are our challenges. I didn't tell this to Ligia, but although somebody referred her to me as someone that would be interested to have her in the program, and I've always been very curious with respect to Puerto Rico's introspection as to who we are.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time researching. My thesis was on Introspección Mexicana.
Okay.
And I use a novelist, Carlos Fuentes, in a novel called La Muerte de Artemio Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And then went from Vasconcelos to Octavio Paz, Juan Rulfo, and everything. Mm-hmm. Did a little bit more like what you did in this book with respect to the Mexican introspection with their this colossal north of them who've stolen a lot of their land, and they have to deal with their neighbors, and right now it's probably more difficult than ever.
We have some parallels there.
As you say, the U.S. is going through difficult times, and where it's going to end up is a good question. But I think the first thing as my listeners already probably have a sense, I'd like to have the people who come as my guests to, on their own instead of my trying to summarize their life and all on their own to give us a little bit of their history, their past, their family, their education. Mm-hmm. What were the critical moments that they decided to go to where they are now? Mm-hmm. And you know, so I leave the mic to you, Ligia. You tell us a little bit about your past and how you got to where you are.
Okay, I will. I'm from Isabela, Puerto Rico, in the northwest part of the island, and I come from a family that is well known. You know, my last names are Domenech and Abreu. We're very well known there, so I had a lot of family. Every time I go there, everybody seems to be a cousin, and I did my school there in Colegio San Antonio in Isabela, and when I came to the university, originally I wanted to study science, but then I realized that, that was not my spirit, and I ended up studying social work. That's what I graduated from the BA in the University of Puerto Rico, Río Piedras.
Okay.
I mean, that opened my mind to a lot of things about Puerto Rico that I kind of knew because my father was a very well-educated man, but hearing different voices from other people. Then I began to do the master's in social work, but I got bored because it was many of the same readings and I was bored. So I learned about this Centro de Estudios Avanzados de Puerto Rico y el Caribe, or Center for Advanced Studies of Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, in Old San Juan, and it was a new place. The professors were the same as the UPR, but a program designed for people who work. So the classes were in the nights and in the weekends and summers, so it worked perfectly, and I did my master's in what is called Caribbean Studies, and then the PhD in history. So I came into history. The thing that I always
And at the time you were working where?
Oh, yeah, I always was working.
You were working at what at that time?
Oh, I was receptionist when I was studying. Receptionist in law offices. I'd work as an assistant librarian. I mean, I was a social worker, a little bit in this Hogar Juvenil de Torrey.
Okay.
And, you know, I did tons of things. So at one point, I was public relations. I mean, I did all kinds of things that had nothing to do with teaching. I began to teach late.
Okay.
But I was always a teacher because all my aunties from both sides of the family are pretty much teachers or related to schools. And I was that kind of student that when the teachers were absent, the students were like, yeah, can you explain us that thing in the chemistry class? So I went up in the board and I explained. I think that's my most important talent as a professor is I have the ability, natural, of explaining complex things in simple ways.
Okay.
And that's my thing. So it's natural. And that's how I eventually began to teach, and this is now my passion. Teaching is my passion and my hope for the world and everything.
And you've taught at the University of Puerto Rico and
yes.
at the Inter-American University?
Yes, I taught at the Inter-American University
time, no?
in Arecibo and Rio Piedras. Metro, Intermetro, Aguadilla. I taught in UPR, Carolina, Arecibo, Rio Piedras, everywhere. And then at one point in 2008, I was already doing this last research. I began to do it. And because of something that I read in my research, I decided to leave the island. I lost my hope. I lost my hope in the island, which I'm getting again. I'm getting there again. But for a long time, I lost my hope. Mm-hmm. And I decided I cannot teach if I cannot
But you lost your hope in terms of the educational field or in terms
no,
of
the island?
The island, the whole thing, the government, the
because
culture.
Because I discovered in this research that since 1899, soldiers that came to Puerto Rico during the invasion and stay a little later, they were already saying that Puerto Rico will be a perfect winter resort for rich Americans. And when I saw that and I was seeing it happening, in fact, remember that Xochitl's Life event and all that stuff, it just dawned upon me and I said, you know, I can't teach. So I began my travels and I tried to live in Argentina for 2 years until my money ran out. I work as
Family-wise, excuse me for interrupting but family-wise, you...
Well, I was married at one point. I had two daughters, but at the time I lived, they were already old
they
enough.
They were all okay,
Yes,
so
they were already grown.
So,
I actually wanted them to follow me to Argentina. I wanted them to take them out with me, and they did for a while. At least my youngest is still in Argentina, and I just wanted to try something else. To my surprise, when I went to Argentina, I will never forget the happiness of finding that I was Latin American. Mm-hmm. Something that we don't think about, right? We tend to look too much to the U.S., and we don't realize until we go there and stay long enough that we are Latin Americans, mm-hmm. that we laugh at the same jokes. It's just amazing to me that that realization, that's where we are.
Okay.
That's where we are. Even though they call me Yankee there, but yeah, I had to deal with it because I didn't kiss enough.
And in Argentina, you were teaching also?
No. I was just trying to find a job and I couldn't because I didn't have papers. It was a bad plan. It was not well planned. But interestingly, the only job I got there was with the U.S. Coast Guard. So the U.S. Coast Guard hired me. Incredible.
How ironic.
Yes. They
escaping
me,
the U.S.
They brought me from Buenos Aires to California, and I spent 3 months in the U.S. Coast Guard ship teaching U.S. history and world history to the soldiers in the ship. I was the only civilian. And to add craziness to the story, then those 3 months that I was there was History Channel comes to do a documentary about this ship. the U.S. Berhoff. And so I am in History Channel. I have my 52 seconds of fame because they interviewed me because I was the only civilian in the ship. So it was something, you know, that I couldn't believe it was happening. So it was one of those things that now I teach, I show my students, so I get some respect because these generations, they need
to. And you became interested in shipping.
No.
Well, you did a book on the submarines.
Oh, okay. Yes, true, true. But I think they have done it then. I don't remember. No, I was still working on writing that one. Yeah. So it was a life that was eventful, as I say. I couldn't, when the money ran out, I had to come back. And then I already had been applying, and I went to teach in Massachusetts in the system, in the university system of Massachusetts, and spent the 6 years. And then I went to Uruguay after that, and where I had a granddaughter that I went for. And I spent 10 years in Uruguay. I'm a citizen of Uruguay, too.
Wow. Okay.
And then I came back when this last book was coming. I wanted to be in the U.S. so I could promote it and everything. So I accepted a term lecturer position for 9 months, but it ended up being 2 years. And right now I just accepted a position in Mississippi, which is precisely the place where this book was published. You're this right. was published by the University Press of Mississippi, and now I'm going to be teaching at Delta State University there.
And this book was written while you were in Uruguay?
This book, yes. Actually,
was done a lot to Grace Lynn here. No?
For a long time. I have been for a long time, but I have had all this information, and then comes the pandemic. And I say, you know, this is the right time to write because I don't have interruptions. I don't have anything to do but being here in the home, right? So that's when I sat and wrote it and drop it.
So you were able to do it the research material was you either already had it,
yes,
or you were able to get it online.
I always carry with me in my pen drives all my research as I go. It doesn't matter where I live, I'm going to keep going and going. And yeah, it's discipline, I guess.
Because this book, and I'm talking with Lee, my guest is Lee Domenech. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a book. It's called Us According to Them. And it's the stateside portrayals of Puerto Ricans and their culture, 1998 to 2010. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really well researched. tons of excerpts from books and
that's on purpose. I wanted the story that to be told by them. I just put the context.
By them, you mean the United States mainland?
Them, the Americans
during that period. Yeah.
Yes, and I mean, it's very weird because how I began this research, well, I read an article, and that article was talking about some Americans who were teachers here, and they mentioned what they said about Puerto Rico, and I say, wait a minute, what are so many people have been here? What do the others have to say about us? Mm-hmm. Every time I do research, I am moved by my own curiosity. Some people tell me, how can you write a book about something and then another that has nothing to do with that and then another that has nothing? Because once I answer my questions, I'm done with the theme.
Right.
I don't have a question. I can move on.
Right.
That's how it works. So I did my doctoral thesis was about Roberto Sánchez Vilella, and that was my first book, which is Que el Pueblo Decida, the government of Roberto
Sánchez
Vilella.
That was his motto.
Yes. Yeah. And it was, why? Because I noticed that the books mentioned his name in a sentence. All other governors were research and a lot of comments about them, but this one was always like skipped. Yeah. I was like, "What? Why is that?" And then when I began to, I mean, even literally in the Capitol building, they had all the busts of all the ex governors and not one of him. They just skip him, and I said, "No, there is something here." And when I began to find, the scandals and the fact that he, you know, the big crime at the time of divorcing his wife of 30 years and marrying a younger woman, the fact that he ended up leaving his own party, the Democratic Party, Popular Democratic Party, to create his own party while he was still a governor. So there was a lot of things going on, and everybody was putting that under the rock, right? So that's the one. The second book, it's about it's called Imprisoned in the Caribbean, the 1942 German U-boat blockade. And that's about why I researched that, because I noticed the same thing. I was reading about World War II, and they just barely hear that, there was a scarcity of medicines because there was a blockade. what blockade, who blockaded, when blocked, and nobody, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. It's one of the less
Maybe with ChatGPT you could have.
Fortunately, I didn't have it because it forced me to go and read every single newspaper of 1942 to find out everything. With the book of Roberto Sanchez Vilella, I read every newspaper from the 4 years, 1964 to 68. No, 68. I forgot. See, 64 to 68. And so I'm a, you know, very disciplined. And once I have a question, I need an answer. And I'm going to keep going until I get my answer.
Right, right.
This last book is, as I said, it was because I wanted to know, wait a minute, to me, you know, I don't know if you have done that ever or the people who are hearing us right now have done that. But I, when I was younger, I used to think, if I met myself in the street, how will I see myself? What would I think about myself? And kind of that's what I translated into this research. If we Puerto Ricans could see ourselves from someone else's perspective, what will they say about us?
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm going to validate it, but it's interesting. It's interesting to me to see how they saw us. So the book, in reality, the underlining theme is colonialism, imperialism, this relationship between colony and empire. But through the eyes of these people who came here, and for different reasons, I researched 132 books. I decided to do only books. Someone else can follow this research doing letters or articles. But I did books because I wanted to, you know, narrow, you know, otherwise.
But some of these books were really... First of all, they're 1898, 1899, 1901.
Yeah.
And you were able to get them through the Centro and...
No, at the beginning I was very silly and I began to buy them. Well, actually, Dr. Silva Gotay gave me a gift of some, the first. He gave me that gift. But then I began to buy them and they're expensive and I didn't have that much money. So I had to go one by one. And then I realized, I began to Google. And I realized that most of them are actually online.
Okay.
So I could read the books online. That's
I thought you were only able to reach them by, you know,
online.
But you can, you could have bought them, but you could.
Yes,
were able
but I was able to find it for free. Line. Well, okay. Not for free. It's Internet Archive is the site that has most of them. The other is Halliburton, is the name or something, HathiTrust. And what I do is I give donations to them now and then because it's free and it's not right. You know,
okay.
I always recommend to researchers, come on, give back, you know, for the others that come after you.
No, it's like, you know, I enjoy, I think it's the Guardian, which is a British, and they all, and there's a number of them that they don't, you know, they give it free, and at the end of the article, which are always fantastic, they say, listen, you know, we're independent, and we don't we don't have any sponsors and this and that, and
I'm always, I mean, not a lot, I mean, whatever you can, but at least, you know, give back.
So, listen, Lydia,
yes,
I'm getting a message from Hector that the first segment is over. My guest is Lydia Domenech. She's a professor and an author, an historian. And we're talking about a book called Us, According to Them. And we'll be right back after the pause. We'll get into what the Puerto Rican is. According to them and us. Us means you and all.
Okay.
Okay, we're right back after a pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, your host, Reflections. We'll be right back.